a quick editing job in my head right now. And there's a tendency when I try to edit my message in my head, it's a funny thing, it always ends up longer. So I just need for you to tell me, I'm going to edit, but I just need right now so I can relax and just allow God to do what God will do. I just need you to tell me it'll be okay. Thank you, I feel better. Gracious and holy God, thank you for this opportunity to be in this moment. Help me, help us to be in this moment. For in this moment you seek to startle us with your goodness and your grace. Amen. You know, worry, anxiety, fear tends not to empty tomorrow of its sorrows. Worry, anxiety, and fear has a way of emptying today of its beauty and strength. There's a lot to be worried about. There is a lot to be anxious about. There is a lot to be fearful about. When I think about all of the challenges that many of you face, I mean, the prayer time, I did not anticipate that. That could have gone on for a long time. When I think about the challenges I know so many of you face, when I think about the challenges, the daunting challenges of our world, how can we not be worried? How can we not be anxious? How can we not allow fear to find a way to creep into our hearts? What I worry about is when we allow the worry and the anxiety and the fear, which I think are pretty human, pretty natural, understandable responses. We're not robots after all. But what I worry about is when we allow that worry and anxiety and fear to take over, to become the habitual way that we relate to life, to become habits of the heart. What I worry about is when we allow our worry and our anxiety and our fear to become the dominant story of our lives. I mean, I think about how can we not be worried and anxious and afraid because no one, particularly now, no one knows what the future holds. In this time of uncertainty, no one knows what the future holds. But the question I want to ask us today, what is our level of trust with the one who holds the future? You know, I love the clip from Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade, where Indiana Jones, I don't know if you remember it, but Indiana Jones is having to trust, having to step into the abyss. Doesn't it feel like that some days? Is anything going to be there? Which I think is one of the primary, if not basic, if not most essential spiritual challenge we face every day. To let go of that illusion that we're in control and trust. Take a deep breath. Surrender. Let's see this clip.
Quickly! It's a leap of faith.
want to watch the rest of the movie, but I got things to say. You know, I'm not sure I would have done that. Would you have done that? Oh. So the question I want to ask you today, where is it for you? Where in your life right now is it a real stretch to trust God, to take that step, that leap of faith? Because I think living a better story isn't necessarily living a different story, as it's living the story we're in, maybe in a different way. Mary Oliver, the beautiful poet, said, "It's not the weight, it's how you carry it." Are we carrying it all by ourselves? Today's beautiful story from Exodus, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, found themselves in that place that we often find ourselves in, which is the place of uncertainty, the place of transition, the in-between place. One of my favorite books by Bernie Siegel, who works with cancer patients, it's How to Live Between Office Visits. You know, it's that place of fear, that place of uncertainty, that place where the future is unknown. We're on this journey. We don't know what's around the corner. And that's the place where worry and anxiety and fear reign. So the Hebrew people, they're just 45 days into this journey of freedom. Just 45 days. They have 39 more years to go, but they're 45 days into this journey of freedom. They've already been chased by Pharaoh's army. They discovered the water was bitter. And they're finding out that this path to freedom is maybe more than they bargained for. You know, there is this uncertainty, this anxiety, this fear. So they start blaming Moses. They say, "Moses, why did you bring us here? We'd be a whole lot better off back in Egypt, in shackles. At least there we'd have bread." Do you ever notice that when the future is unknown, how so often we can idealize the past? Somehow it was better back in the day. Well, different. Probably not better. So these Israelites are going, "Moses, why did you bring us here? Did you bring us here so that you might kill this whole assembly with hunger?" Now they were afraid. They were afraid. This journey of freedom was proving way more difficult than they anticipated. Remember the movie Private Benjamin? Y'all might think I've never seen a movie since 1985. Which probably is closer to the truth than you realize. But Private Benjamin, I love that scene where Private Goldie Hawn turns to the drill sergeant and says, "I'm sorry, I signed up for the other army. You know, the one where we live in condominiums and travel to exotic places." Do you ever feel that way about life? That, wait a minute, I signed up for the other life. Not this one. Virginia Satir, the family therapist, Virginia Satir said, "Have you ever had a day that went exactly as you hoped? If you have, get out of bed." Because life is rarely the way it's supposed to be. Right? Life rarely, she says, ever goes the way we want it to be or we think it should be. It just is. So she says, stop fighting, stop fleeing, accept. Because when you can accept it is, then you realize it's how you respond to life that makes all the difference in the world. It's not the weight, it's how you carry it that makes all the difference in the world. So these Hebrew people, their story came to a place where they realized their story could go one of two ways. They could embrace this adventure and learn in the relationship to God to stretch, to grow, to trust. Or they could allow anxiety and worry and fear, which are normal and natural, but they could allow that to dominate the story. And we face the same choices, don't we? I don't think we can stop the worry and anxiety and fear. I really don't. Will it become the major part of our story? You know, psychologists will tell you when someone comes in with a problem, the presenting problem is never generally the problem, the core problem. So a husband might say, she keeps nagging at me to get out of the wood shop, but yet she's the one who wants the cupboards. And she says, he never talks to me anymore. Now, there's more at stake here than communication. You remove the layers, you get at this basic anxiety. Am I still important? Do you still love me? Well, you remove the layers from the Hebrew people in the story who are complaining about bread. You remove those layers, and what you discover underneath that is a basic question. Does God care? Is God with us here in the midst of this? Are we going to be okay? Because once you decide that God doesn't care, it's so easy then not to care yourself. So maybe the first step in this wilderness we find ourselves in this transition, in this fear, in this uncertainty, in this unknown, maybe the first step, the first chapter of living a better story is to trust. You know, I often say that worry, anxiety, and fear kind of live in our... Actually, it lives here, by the way. But after it lives here, it goes here in our chest. We get all tight. You know, we're anxious, we're fearful, we're worried. And then when things happen, we react because it's all right here. You've heard me say 1,000 times, what would it be like to take a second breath and to discover there is this grace, the strength we can lean on. You know, between what happens to us and how we respond, there's space. For most of us, that's space like this. But there's space. And there's grace in that space. How different would our story be if we develop those spiritual practices that made us more aware of the grace in the space, took those deep breaths, trusted that grace. I remember when I flew to be with my dad 2 years ago as he made the transition from this life to more life. I went to the nursing home and I was with him alone, and I remember crawling in bed with him and just holding him, taking a cool washcloth and wiping his forehead. And I remember how absolutely scared I was, because this was a situation I couldn't fix. This was a situation I couldn't control. And I was so scared. And I remember there was this love that reached into my fear. And just as I was holding my dad, I felt held. So I opened my heart. I got out of my head and I opened my heart. And I could palpably feel my dad's fear. I could feel it. So I just started praying quietly over and over again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid. And as I held my dad, he closed his eyes. And he took a deep breath. And he died in my arms. Born into a new story. Where does fear have a grip on you? And maybe it's just stopping for a moment and being still. Quiet all those voices that clamor for attention every single day, those voices that demand that we be worried and anxious and afraid. And just know in here that even though everything, we can't promise that everything's going to be okay, we'll be okay. Because we are loved with a love stronger than anything you will ever face. Stronger than even death itself. Make the space. Trust. Breathe. Surrender. As we continue to worship God,